Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode of Snow the Goalie, the only Flyers podcast, is brought to you by Cinch by AmeriGas. Check them out at cinch.com, CYNCH.com. They'll deliver a full propane tank to your home for just $10 using our promo code ITSLIT5. That's ITSLIT and the number 5. Just $10. They'll take away your old propane tank. They'll replace it with a new full propane tank for just $10 using the promo code ITSLIT5. And by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up today using the promo code CROSSINGBROAD, all one word. Take a look at their excellent promos, their excellent deals, and with sports returning, now is the best time ever to sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook. And now, let's get on with the show.
Hi, my name is Ali Vigneault, coach of the Flyers.
Hey, I'm Travis Konecny.
Hi, I'm Paul Holmgren.
Hi, I'm Matt Niskanen.
Hey, I'm Scott Lawton.
Hi, I'm Joel Farabee.
Hi, it's Derek Grant.
Hi, this is Rob Clark.
And you're listening to
Snow the Goalie.
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 Oh, yes! Ladies and gentlemen, we went with an aggressive, a very energetic oh yes. Last week, a very long, elongated, excited oh yes made people happy on Twitter. But no, we're going with the aggressive one. And why? Because hockey is back in our lives. And listen, it happened in Toronto. It happened with no fans in the stands. But the NHL did a really good job. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, about capturing the essence of hockey in the best way you can without fans. But before we get into that, because there's a lot to talk about tonight, we've got Anthony Sanfilippo, my old pal, and, you know, Mr. Happy. And if you, for some reason, checked out of the podcast over the NHL pause, you would have missed exclusive interviews with Chris Pronger and Danny Briere and Mike Knuble and Dave Poulin and Brian Propp and among others. That would be a mistake on your end, but it's okay. Welcome back. And for the thousands of you who have joined us over the last few months, hello again. Anthony, how are you feeling about hockey being back in your life? You just hock a loogie? What is that? Oh, I think he's snoring. He's snoring. Yes. This is the best.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Best way.
Hi, Russ.
Hi,
where you been? It's been a long time.
Yeah, just been sitting. Just been sitting.
Look.
I like your hibernation. That was good. You're like a bear. A Delco bear. Wasn't there Delco a Delco bear like a few years ago? Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah, it was actually on, and not even a few years ago. It was last year and was on my street, as a matter of fact.
Oh my God,
the
it was
front
you.
Page photo, the front page photo was taken by one of my neighbors.
That's amazing.
For the local paper. But the reason I was snoring fakingly there, but the reason I was snoring is, and this might be just me, Russ, and I'm excited for the playoff to start. I'm excited for everything to begin. Which is next week. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited. I cannot ever, whether it's in a pandemic, whether it's in a normal year, whether it's coming off of a championship, or whether there are great expectations for a team, I can't, for the love of God, get behind and get excited for an exhibition game.
Okay.
In any sport, but hockey's one of the way. And I know that this was a little bit different because
This
was almost a full roster. Normally your exhibition hockey games, you get about four real players and a bunch of minor leaguers, right? But so today the majority of the guys who were in the lineup are going to be playing for the Flyers. So I get it. It was a little bit different. And I watched the game beginning to end. I just can't get excited about it. I just can't take a lot out of it. Like, it might be just me. I'm sure that the fans out there were thrilled.
It is.
Good for them. And that's fine. And it's fine if it's just me. And we'll talk about, we'll talk about what we saw today. There's no negatives from today. I don't think there was a negative. There was not one negative from what we watched today. No. Right. But at the same time, I'm also not going to sit here and be like, oh my God, yes, this is so awesome. They're ready to go. They're going to come out, guns a-blazing and dominate the league. I'm not going there either. It was an exhibition hockey game. And that's all there is to it. So I don't mean to poo-poo your excitement, because I think that excitement is certainly...
You can't rain on my parade. You can't.
I think that excitement is well-placed for the return of hockey.
Yes.
That begins it really in earnest on Sunday, right? So it's well placed for that. But I can't sit here and say, and we're not going to have another episode until after that next Flyers game against Boston on Sunday. You think that so what you're saying and your excitement is well placed in this episode. I just want to make sure that right off the top here, we clarify that excitement had nothing to do with the fact that there was an exhibition hockey game today.
Oh, no, it was all about the exhibition hockey. No,
then you're a nut job. You're a whack job.
I am a wacko. Okay, so a couple of things. I'm more excited that the sport is back. I'm also excited by the fact that this sport got it right, while the other sport that you host a podcast for screwed the pooch. And we are going to continue to have to, have the news cycle get sucked into Major League Baseball and their Players Association, how they're a bunch of morons and how they didn't have a better plan in place. And like how, the Miami Marlins, who are a, useless team, could potentially, call into question whether their season's going to continue. Doesn't matter. The NHL got this right. And I want to point this out because I try not to go to war with people anymore. But there was a radio host who a few weeks ago, I'm trying to remember who it was. I know it was the thing. It was a poll. I could probably pull it from a tweet. Somebody a few weeks ago made a big stink, and they said, which team are you most excited to see come back? And it was like the Phillies, I think the Eagles, or it was like the Phillies, the Sixers, and the Eagles. Yeah, that was it. And the Flyers weren't on there, and people were like, hey, why aren't the Flyers on this list? And the host said, I can't consider that a thing until they announce where the hub cities are. And I think I made the point, is it better to get it right and wait until the last minute to make sure that you're ensuring that the cities you pick are best suited for the longevity of your sport and being able to finish the season, or to just throw it out there and say that it's happening? And I was right, because now what we've seen and what we, talked to Elaine Vigneault about yesterday is, what exactly does the hub city feel like in Toronto? Has it been a good experience so far? AV noted during his Monday press availability that the team was the first to arrive on Sunday. They were the first team in the Toronto bubble, and that the accommodations are good. The things that we see on social media where the NBA were, lamenting, and even MLS players had been lamenting the Orlando bubbles, delivered sandwiches and little cardboard boxes that they're paying $75 for. Day one with the NHL, they had an omelet bar and like all kinds of fun stuff going on. So the NHL did it right. It sounds like the accommodations are good. I asked AV if he found any place to get a martini. He said, don't worry about it. I've already found the martini bar. We know that we're in good shape here. So I'm more excited about the fact that hockey's returned, the fact that the players and the coaches seem to be on the same page that like, hey, for having to bring back a sport in the middle of a pandemic, things are actually pretty good here. I can tell you that from like the press availability for MLS for the Philadelphia Union, there are still questions, even though they're in that Orlando bubble, there's still this like feeling of uncertainty and fear. And I think part of that is just because they're around people in Florida who are not forced to quarantine, meaning the workers. Whereas up in Canada, things are kind of handled pretty well. So that's my excitement. I'm not going to say that, an exhibition game is the Stanley Cup final. It's not. But it was nice to see the guys back out on the ice. And it's been nice to hear positivity around the sport. I think it's good.
Matt Niskanen is completely unrecognizable with that beard that he's grown. That was an observation that I had today. But no, it was good to see them. And the best news from today, the absolute best news from this game, they came out of it healthy.
Yep.
That was the absolute best news, because that's the one thing that you always hate about exhibition sports, is that you're playing a game that doesn't mean anything and somebody runs the risk of getting hurt, right? So, yeah, it was good to see them. And I'll say this. The pace for an exhibition game was higher than a normal exhibition game, no doubt. So that was good. They did look a little cohesive. At least the regulars looked cohesive. Seeing Lawton play with Hayes and Konechny was a nice combination. We saw that earlier in the year.
Really good combo.
It worked out well on the game-winning goal there. I mean, Kevin Hayes also had a goal in the game. Kootz looked like Kootz, played good defense. There was no negatives. So I thought both goalies played well. They each allowed a goal. Hart made 12 saves. Elliott made 13. Flyers were a little bit loosey-goosey in the third period defensively. But other than that, I felt that it was just fine. It was good to see the guys, good to have them out there feeling good chemistry with each other against an opponent that's not themselves. And now we'll see what happens come Sunday. And that's really how I can really do to really assess this. You know, we want to talk about the fact that Zamula got into a game. That's nice. That's good for the kid, 20 years old. Get him a little bit of experience against another NHL club, so he gets a taste of what that's like at this level. That's great. I thought it was great that they got Gostis, Baron, Friedman out on the ice, because there's a good chance that one or both of them may have to at some point in a long playoff run, if somebody gets hurt or whatever, or they're struggling, get one of them into the lineup. So it was good to get them a full game. I thought they looked okay out there together. But other than that, like what are we breaking down? Like the fact is that they came out of it healthy, and that's the best thing we can say about the team.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, the funny thing is, and this happened earlier in the week, because the Sixers had their first exhibition game against the Grizzlies, and Joel Embiid only played 13 minutes, and then it came out that he had soreness in, I think it was the calf or the knee, it doesn't matter. But the immediate reaction from people was, well, you just had 4 months off, how are you hurt? And it's like, well, that's also unfair, because, you know, in any sport, you're trying to ramp your way up. And I think that's kind of where we come back to the Jack Adams argument for Alain Vigneault as coach of the year. Because every player who's been made available in the past couple of weeks, but especially in this past week, when they've been talking about the way that AV has built the workout regimen and the training regimen and the practice, in terms of ramping it up, nobody has. And I, by the way, I wouldn't expect anybody to go to the press and complain about AV. That wouldn't end well for them in the locker room. But they've all kind of raved about the way that he has been, the leadership by committee thing of the best sign of a leader is somebody who empowers those around him to make decisions, and that he listens to the sports science staff and the nutritionists. And like, if they say, you know, there's only so much you can push these guys on, there's only a certain amount of time that you can push them to do X, Y, Z, he listens. He's not, you know, a bull in a china shop on that kind of thing. So that's good. And I think that kind of also showed itself. You know, the players have talked about over the last few days about how it's really ramped up. And it was even Chuck Fletcher. It was, I think, Monday, might have been Saturday, said something about, you know, AV's attention to detail. If he says it's a 42-minute practice, he has it planned down to the last second of a 42-minute practice. The players have talked about the fact that that's also a really nice thing, that you know that he's got it planned out, and that, like, once it's done, it's done. You know how much energy you're going to exert, and it's a clear plan. It's everything is well mapped out, and it feels like everything is meaningful. And they've all talked about his you know, attention to detail in ramping this thing up, and that they feel like it's being done in the right way. You're not getting complaints of guys saying that, you know, they feel wiped or exhausted. There are no rumors coming out. There is no sourcing that's coming out around the team saying that, you know, things are being done the wrong way. I think the Flyers actually look like the more fit of the two teams. If I could go, you know, be as bold as to say, I think they look like the better condition of the two. And I think that also bodes well for them, you know, in Sunday's game, the first, you know, meaningful matchup in the round robin against Boston. The idea has come up here, and I want to throw this to you. The idea has come up about the round robin games and the importance. And the Flyers, in theory, do have a path to potentially get up to the top seed. Obviously, they need some things to work out for them to get there. Given that there's no real home ice advantage, there are some things that the league is doing that we'll talk about in arena to try to give a home ice advantage. if you're AV, are you looking to get as many guys into these three round robin games as possible, knowing that like home ice advantage isn't quite the same? Or do you say, no, like we really do want to get as high as we can in the standings, and if that means I shorten the bench and I kind of eliminate some guys from contention, that's what I do. What do you do?
Well, I think it's both, in all honesty, Russ. I've said on this show previously that I think that there's a slight disadvantage for the top seeds in the NHL, that these round robin games, what are you really playing for? Like, it doesn't matter. You're not going to be in your building. There is no home ice advantage. Yeah, okay, you get the better, you know, you get the home locker room, you get the better change, two periods out of three, you get the last line, line change, whatever. It's the typical stuff like that. I mean, those are tiny advantages. So I think that ultimately, you know, what you want to do is you want to get guys into the games who you think may have an opportunity to play in the playoffs. Now, you're not going deep down your list. You're not going to the bottom of your list and putting your 30th or 31st guy out there and saying, yeah, I just want to get you a game so that, you know, you're ready to roll. I don't think that's the case. I think there's a reason that these guys, you know, practice hard and are black aces for a reason. I mean, that's what they're there for in case of emergency. They're not there to get ready to play, okay? So I think that, you know, maybe instead of having 20 guys that play those three games, you might have 23. A couple, maybe one or two extra defensemen, maybe an extra four, maybe two extra fours, maybe 24. But I think that that's really it. I mean, I don't think it goes beyond that. But at the same time, you don't want to get off to a bad start in the sense that you don't want to not take those games seriously, because then if you lose all three games and then you go into the playoff round and it's like, wow, we're really not playing well. And we're going into this now. We got to turn it on. We're not going to have the energy of fans yelling and screaming to help us find that. So I think that's you know, something as well. So you want to win those games. You want to try and win those games. You're going to coach like you want to win those games. And so I think that they're going to take them seriously. But like I said, I mean, I think it's a situation where, you know, let's try and win the game as best we can, but also try and get a couple extra guys some time just so that they, you know, have a game under their belt or two games under their belt before we hit the actual playoff round.
Well, I appreciate the fact that, you know, you went out of your way there to hedge and do both, and that's fine.
But it's the truth, Russ. I mean, really. I mean, sure. Could I have given you a hot take one way or the other? I could have. I could have said, yeah, these games don't matter. Just play whoever the hell you want. You know, try and keep your best players healthy. Only play Drew Couturier, you know, 10 minutes in each game. You know, pull Carter Hart halfway through. Like, I mean, you could do all – I could have said that, I mean, and made a valid argument to do that. But, you know, this isn't talk radio. We're not sitting here trying to get people riled up to call in to tell us how stupid we are, okay? Yeah. We're not just saying stuff. We're giving an honest opinion. And the honest opinion is, yeah, you want to protect your players – yes, you want to get guys an opportunity to play that may actually play in the playoffs that you're thinking about potentially including in your lineup. But at the same time, you also do want to win the games because you want to have good momentum. You want to have good cohesion moving into the playoffs once those games matter. So I think that's the most, you know, fair way of putting it. And is it a hedge? Of course it's a hedge. But at the same time, I think it's the right answer.
So – I agree, I think, on pretty much all counts. I think the thing that maybe will help, and I think this is, I want to talk now about, you know, the arena and the way that they have everything set up and how home ice might be affected. You know, you brought up the fact that you get the better change two out of three periods, which I think, like, in terms of the actual game itself is probably the most important advantage. The NHL has done, I think, a pretty darn good job of making the game look good and sound good. And it's worth noting to those who, you know, watch this game that this wasn't the full array of what the NHL has. This isn't everything that they're going to have on both the, you know, in our case, NBC Sports Philadelphia or whatever regional sports network you watch the game on versus the national telecast. But the league has done a couple of things that I think are beneficial. And I want to get your feeling, because I know that, you know, production guy, director, actor over there, like, you care about the production, maybe not as much in hockey as you would on the stage, but it is still worth pointing out. The league has expanded the use of microphones and the use of cameras. They're up to 32 cameras, which is 12 more than they typically have. Now, if you watch the telecast today, you might think to yourself, like, it didn't look like there was all that much. I don't think they had everything. There was a 49-minute video that the league released last week, and I think in that there was 12 minutes dedicated specifically to what they were doing on the production side. One of the things is they have a boom crane that's going to be in the arenas, both at Rogers Place and at Scotiabank, that's effectively going to be able to keep up. It's sort of, in a way, kind of like the dolly cam that you see going around the racetrack at a horse race, and kind of like the sky cam feel that you get watching a football or a soccer game that ESPN's been toying with. So that's cool. We didn't see that today. I think they've used a variation of that, if I'm not mistaken, during the Winter Classic. I think they've used something kind of that overhead, keeping up with the pace. But the fact that the audio didn't echo, we didn't get that weird reverberation thing, we didn't get that empty arena feel that a lot of the European soccer leagues were getting, I thought was nice. I didn't expect that. I was wondering how they were going to handle it. I thought that, like, for the most part, the sound was good. How did you feel about how the game sounded today?
Yeah, I mean, look, I look at it in this way. I think that what the NHL is doing is good for the viewer experience, right? I think the game sounded well. I actually did notice a couple of new camera angles, and I've been screaming, Russ, for, I feel like, it may be decades now. I'm sure it's into a second decade. I'm not certain it's quite got to a third decade yet, but we're getting there. That I always felt that hockey would be better on television if it was presented like a video game. Mm-hmm. If fans got to watch the action like it looks like on a video game, where you watch it from kind of above north and south, mm-hmm. and not necessarily east to west. I think you lose too much of the game watching east to west. You lose the puck on the near wall. You got to rely on switching camera angles. So sometimes it's hard to kind of see. And then you also don't see plays develop. Like, a lot of times, you know, you need a clear breakaway to see. But a lot of times when you're watching the game from above, and this is why we sit at the top of the arena, the press box, it's why GM's boxes are in the top of the arena as well, because they want to see how the game is developing below them. And you can see something. You could almost sense, like, the play that was made on the game-winning goal today when Konechny makes that, you know, he goes back, circles back, a half circle back, and then makes an outlet pass and hits Lawton in stride. You could see that developing from up top. So mm-hmm. if you're watching that from a camera angle that's above the rink, it's really cool. And I think it would work in TV. And I think that they're going to, you know, they had a couple cameras today that were different than the normal camera angle, that was a little bit out over the ice.
Yes.
Not quite center, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, but a little bit out over the ice, kind of like a diagonal. And I thought that that was a decent angle. So I thought that was a good thing. I'd still like to see one that shoots it straight above, like you were just talking about.
Yeah.
And I think that it was nice. You know, they had a little bit of ambient crowd noise. They had the celebration sound for the goal for the Flyers, because they were technically the home team, I guess, in this game. Just kind of, you know, whenever they scored, like, the fans would cheer and stuff. Well, so there were some good elements to that.
Yeah, that is worth noting that.
I thought it was fine. I thought they did a nice job.
The arena sounds, and I'm pretty sure. I did have my kids running around the house, but I'm mostly sure that the goal horn that you heard for Pittsburgh and Philly were their respective home horns. They were not the same.
Yes.
I don't know, because the NHL kind of danced around this. The round robin games, I think they're going to have, you know, the same way, where it's almost like neutral ice. You get your goal song, you get your goal horn. I do wonder, once you start getting into the conference finals and the Stanley Cup final, if that carries through, because you would think that that would be like one of those ways to affect the mood, or to affect that, you know, you were talking earlier about like the extrinsic motivation of having the fans in the crowd, and you're losing that. So what's the other way to do it? You're pounding with music, you're pounding with the normal arena sounds. I do wonder if the power play, the Flyers only had one, I believe, on the day. I wonder if the Pico power play is going to be a thing, if we're going to hear that sound, because that's, I mean, that was a sponsorship that was paid for, and that's a thing that would happen in the arena. I do wonder if
Did you notice? Did you notice, Russ? This was an interesting thing, and I don't know how many people saw this, but the advertisements on the boards.
Yes.
Half of them were Flyers advertisements, and half of them were Penguins advertisements. Yep. So, like, you would see PPG Paints for the Penguins, right? That's a Penguins ad, and then you would see Xfinity.
Yep.
Right next to it for the Flyers or whatever. Yeah, you know, just yep. I'm just spitballing. I mean, obviously Xfinity can be in Pittsburgh too, but yeah, they had, it was like they were alternating advertisements, one for the Flyers and one for the Penguins, which I think is interesting that they actually have someone going in there and putting on new ads for each game, and they're playing what, 3 games a day on the ice. That's crazy that they're doing that, but I guess, you know, that's what's allowing them to have it, is that money from those advertisers.
So, yeah. And you know, like I originally was kind of wondering if that was how it was going to go down, if that was how it was going to look, because I know that they have had the ability in the past to do like the digital board, not the LED, like you would see on like the sideline of like an NBA or MLS game, but like the ability to superimpose it digitally on the feed, because there were pictures that were going around, even that the Flyers themselves had shared, from inside Scotiabank. Travis Sanheim was in one of the pictures, and like I'm looking at it now, it would be on the hard camera side, so away from where the game was actually being shot, and you've got Sobeys, Scotiabank, Esso, Pepsi. I don't know what this other. Oh, that's a Kit Kat. That's really hard to tell. Sport Check, Navy Federal Credit Union, Truly, and Duncan. I'm pretty sure that what we saw were hard ads. It is possible that they could have done a digital alter to them, but I don't think that's what that is.
I think
you know how weird that is, like at the ends of the glass behind the goals, how they have that superimposed. We didn't get any kind of like weird tech glitchy thing. So they must be changing it, which is cool.
And just for the knowledge of the fans, in case you don't know, all it is it's just like a giant like wall sticker. I mean, it's like a fathead in a lot of ways. Like it peels off, they peel off the back and just stick it to the boards, right?
Yep.
And that's all it is. So, and then you go in and you take it off and put a new one in. Now, like you said, the ones that are probably on the side where the cameras are, they very well, and the ones you were just reading off, sounded a lot like Canadian advertisements. You know, when you say Esso, Esso's in Canada. That's not America. That's Exxon in Canada, right? I mean, it's Esso up there. So those sound like some Canadian advertisers. But on the side where the TV cameras are angling, they're going to show you the advertisers for the two teams that are playing. And I think it'll be interesting to watch. Like, for example, come Sunday when there's 3 games Sunday, right?
Yes.
Maybe it's 2, but if you watch them.
It's 3.
It's 3, right? If you watch each game, I think that you'll see different advertisers on the one. They're not digital. They are hard ads. And so someone is actually going out on the ice between those games, changing half the boards to put different advertisers up.
Mm-hmm. Just to clarify. There are 5 games on Sunday. I was wrong. There are 5 games on Sunday. 3 are out west, and then 2 are in the east. So you've got.
Okay. But I meant in each arena. I think it's 3 and 3 in.
So it's three out west. That's and Coyotes and Preds at 2. You've got Blues and Avalanche at 6:30, and then Wild and Canucks at 10:30. And then in the east in Toronto, you've got Flyers Bruins at 3, and then Columbus and Toronto at 8. It's interesting because, and this is, I think, the last thing on this part, but like, you know, you talk about the visual, we talked about the audio and about the way that they're intending on trying to incorporate things that make things feel unique. That was the one thing that they really hit on in that long presentation, is the desire to make every game feel unique. You don't want it to feel like a cookie cutter thing. Now, obviously, center ice, you've got that beautiful Stanley Cup logo dead center, right? You weren't going to try to superimpose the team's home logo. That makes it feel a little bit different, maybe a little bit, you know, more special. But the fact that they've gone out of their way to try to make these games feel different, I think, is nice. The video boards that are on, you know, across from the hard cam, so what you're seeing behind the action, you've got the tart seats low, and then just above it, you've got all those, you know, large digital screens. I think that's kind of cool. It didn't show up as much on this telecast. I wonder if they're going to have a hard cam that they're going to end up putting lower, closer toward the ice, where you're going to actually see those as more of a backdrop, almost giving you that feel of being in like the sixth or seventh row, again, trying to give you the feeling of the speed of the game. Maybe that's another kind of angle they're going to look at. I bring up the boards because that's one of the things that Carter Hart had said earlier in the week that he was a little bit unsure of and unsure of adjusting to. And then he did say after this game that that's a thing that's going to take some time to get used to, is not only the light the sight lines of the tarped seats, the way that the light's going to bounce off of those, and then knowing that on one side you've got these video boards. He did say that took some getting used to, but it's not just him. It's going to be anybody who goes in. And again, maybe that's why it's so important if you're Lane Vigneault, if you're one of these other coaches, that you're getting as many of your guys and as many of your goalies in to get some kind of time to get used to this as possible.
You know what I find fascinating?
What?
That we find this fascinating.
Why?
Like to me, it's still just about the game, right? It's still just about the outcome. It's still just about what's going on. And I know I'm an older guy, right? And I remember games when it didn't have any of these, you know, visuals. It didn't have all the bells and whistles. You just watched a game, right? I go back to watching hockey when there was one 30-second commercial at a commercial break, and then you were back to the game. And that's it. And there weren't TV timeouts. It would only occur like if there was an icing or something. It would give you a 30-second commercial, and then you were back to the game again. So, like, you know, maybe that's what it is. Like, I don't care, in all honesty, what it's like. But I'm old, right? You guys are younger. You guys probably care a little bit more about this because of the generation that you guys are in, and that's fine. It's totally fine. I don't begrudge that. But I find it fascinating that this is, and it's not just us talking about it. It's being talked about everywhere. Like, this is a thing that people really, really care about. And I guess it's just something else to talk about until the games really matter. But, like, gee, I don't, it's one of those I don't get it personally. So, like, I don't understand it.
Well, so here's why I care. And maybe I'll get your feeling on this and you can let me know, but you get one shot. For me, like, I think you get one shot at the casual viewer. And I do think that to some extent you do get, you're really trying to build equity with your loyal fans who have missed the sport for so long. And you don't want to have them turn off because of the presentation. And it does matter, because I can tell you that when the Bundesliga first started up, they weren't using the virtual crowd and it was all empty seats. And the immediate feedback was, that's weird. Seeing the empty seats is typically a thing in European soccer that's used like when you ban the fans because they've done like a racist chant or something. And that made it feel weird. Then they added in the virtual crowd noise, but they didn't have the seats tarped. And that came off as like very strange and very off-putting to hear the sounds of a full stadium, but empty seats. I can tell you, and you and I probably won't agree on this, the Phillies, when I saw their first game, and we knew that, like, hey, rah-rah, the healthcare heroes, we wanted to have the doctors and nurses and have their pictures behind home plate. I don't like the aesthetic of it. It honestly is more distracting to me than I think is worth it. And then you mix into that the possibility of there being, you know, virtual crowd noise, and then you see thousands of seats as the ball gets hit foul or for a home run, and you know that the place is empty. That to me was so off-putting, and I wanted to watch that game, but something about the lack of continuity between what I was seeing behind home plate and in the stands and the sounds that I was hearing was so disconcerting. I genuinely felt like I wanted to watch the game on mute. It bothered me that much. I don't know why. Listening to it in the car, listening to Fransky in LA, I had no issues. I also like that they let the game breathe, but that's another thing for another day. Something about the visual and the audio not linking up really, really bothered me. And this I thought was done really well, because there's no way to mask that it's an empty arena. The NBA built theirs to be effectively on a sound, and the sounds and the sights and everything, they had a weird thing going with like mics under the court, but like that felt like it lined up. It sounded like the game taking place on a sound stage. It felt like your local gym, but gussied up to be at the pro level. I think that what the NHL did here in terms of presentation is about as damn good of a job as they could have done, given that they're playing in a full arena, full-size NHL arena, and it's empty. I think they did an exemplary job.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Ross. I don't think you're you know, being ridiculous by what you're saying. And I get it. Like I said, I think a younger generation notices these things. Like, we don't. Like, I don't – it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to watch the game regardless of what the – broadcast looks like it doesn't matter to me. Like, if I'm interested in Flyers versus Bruins on Sunday, I don't care what the broadcast looks like. Now, that's me, but you're right, I'm more of a hardcore person as far as the sport is concerned, and the casual viewer may need, you know, that distraction to entertain them. I find it interesting, you know, you talked about that they wanted to each game to feel unique and feel different. And I'll tell you that I get that, but I think back to like the NCAA tournament, and up until maybe a decade ago, each arena looked different, right? Each arena looked like its arena, whatever, where you were playing. The floor was the floor for the arena. And you had the team names off on the side, whatever, blah, blah, blah. The host school's name was on the arena, whatever, or was on the floor, whatever. And then about a decade ago, they changed it to have a uniform basketball court for every arena. So when you're watching on TV, nothing looked different. Everything looked exactly the same. The only way you could tell where you were is that on the sideline, it would say, you know, Washington, D.C. or, you know, Detroit, whatever, wherever they're playing. But other than that, like, every floor looked exactly the same. So it was not a unique experience for the viewer. And yet college basketball tournament draws, you know, millions of viewers every year without issue, including casual viewers. And I think betting has a lot to do with that.
Sure.
And so maybe what I'm trying to get to here is because hockey maybe doesn't have that foothold in the betting world that basketball and football and even baseball do, that maybe you need to concentrate more on the experience for the viewer, because you're not getting the viewer who just wants to watch because they're betting the game, right? So I think that that's maybe the justification for it, and why the NHL has gone to the lengths that it's gone to make it seem unique.
And I think regardless, I think it's interesting. The way that you and I perceive it there are like some common strands, and there are some very different ways that we look at it. But the one thing that we do agree on is it was a good presentation. And maybe this is where we can double agree on this. Nothing was distracting.
Nope.
I say that because I do wonder. I'm glad to see the NHL didn't go the virtual fan visual route. Fox is going to be working on that with MLB. They had that video go out. We did a post over on Crossing Broad for it. I assume that they're piloting that to see if they can use it for NFL games. La Liga in Spain tried to experiment with a really, really bad virtual crowd that actually, you know how like sometimes the advertisements behind the goals will sometimes shift and they don't mean to, but like there's something techie, like wonky, glitchy. La Liga games, the first week that they tried to do it, the entire virtual board that they were trying to use to block out the empty seats, that plus the virtual fans, quote unquote, on the sides that look like they came out of like an N64 version of a game, the whole thing just kind of slid when it wasn't supposed to. So you would see some empty seats as this whole thing would slide, and it was really wonky, super distracting, obviously. I think that the NHL like really did a good job here of, depending on the angle they shoot from, you've got those big beautiful screens behind if you want to use them, and if not, the tarp seats, it's a clean look. And why do I know that it's a good clean look? Because I've been arguing now for over a month with Kyle from Crossing Broad about the NBA versus the NHL and the way that they're going to present it. And I said that I was worried that the NBA setup was going to end up being a little bit too small, to feel a little bit too claustrophobic. And I was a little bit worried that the NHL broadcast was going to be echoey and maybe it wasn't going to live up to the hype. He came out of nowhere today and was like, they really crushed this. This looks excellent. And if there's one guy who's going to be fixated on the small details in about presentation, it's Kyle Scott. So they won him over. So, I mean...
So you know what the difference is between the NHL and La Liga?
Go ahead. You're going to crap on soccer?
The NHL mm-hmm. Tech people took the time to test it out, prepare it, check it, make sure it worked, you know, get some feedback and make sure that they put something unique together. The La Liga people were like you when we're getting ready to do a show about the press row show. They're just 5 minutes beforehand. Like, yeah, I'll get this to work.
Yeah, that was it. It was pretty much that. Yeah, you're not wrong, Ant. You're not wrong.
I'm not wrong.
So I do like, okay. So we've hit, I think, on pretty much everything that's of major importance. We could get into the roster itself. I'm not too focused on that. We did two shows last week, one that was hitting all the major storylines. We did one about Oscar Lindblom, just to update the people in case you didn't get to see the exhibition or whatever. He's not with the team yet, still with his family abroad. That did come up in the press availability because Carson Twarinski was a guy who some people thought might be able to impress out of camp, as he tends to do every year in training camp, and then gets to the, you know, the big show and it's, you know, hit or miss. He doesn't make the team, but Oscar Lindblom does, and they carried four goalies, and there were questions about it. Chuck Fletcher said that ultimately the goal here was have four goalies in case you need them and have Oscar Lindblom with the team. He's not with them yet. They're working on a plan to get him in. You and I talked about, you know, whether or not we think he's actually going to play or how deep of a run the team would have to, you know, have for him to play. We got into that on an episode previously, so if people want to go back and listen to that, they can. I don't have too much more because I don't think the roster battles really matter all that much for us to speculate on. You know, if anything, does Ghost make it? I think he actually looked pretty solid today, all things considered. He's coming off of two knee surgeries since January. Listen, if Shane Gostisbehere is able to contribute to this team in a meaningful way and shows the willingness to put the puck on net like he did a few years ago versus the guy who seemed kind of reluctant to do so last year, that would not be a bad addition to the team. I think that might, you know, the 6-7 defenseman thing again, maybe is probably the most intriguing thing. And Michael Roffel factored into the game today. He hadn't been factoring much in practice. He'd been relegated out of the top 12 forwards. So it was interesting to see, you know, maybe that's something you look at between him and like a Nate Thompson or something. I don't know. Is there anything that you really found that intriguing that's worth getting into?
No. And I think you kind of just hit the nail on the head. I still think Ghost is 7. On this list, I think that there's no reason to not have Braun and Haig. They played well together right before the pause. So I think at the very least, they're going to be given the opportunity to start as the third pair for the Flyers. And I'll be honest, I could see Ghost getting an opportunity, you know, obviously if one of them struggle, whatever, but I can also see Ghost getting an opportunity if somebody like a Phil Myers is not up to snuff, you know, in those games. So I think that even though he's 7, I think he's going to see time. And I think, you know, and Friedman is 8. Friedman probably doesn't get in unless there's an injury. But I think that's kind of where they are. And at forward, I still think Nate Thompson is 13, is your 13th forward. But there was something to like about the fact that they can really match up defensively with their centers now when he's in the lineup, which they don't do as well without him in the lineup. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. That might be a coach's decision based on matchups, who plays against what team or in what lineup. Based off the needs of the fourth line, because that's really ultimately who's the fourth line going to match up against, who do we like better, you know, in those spots. And I think that's really what's going to say. I think there'll be some fluctuation. Look, there always is in the playoffs. I can't tell you a time ever where it was 12-6-1, right? The same 12 forwards, the same 6 defensemen, and the same one goalie that played every game for a Stanley Cup champion. So in the playoffs, other guys have to contribute, come in and play. So these guys are going to be given an opportunity. There's no doubt about it. At some point during this playoff run, we're going to see all these guys that we just talked about. But I do think like at this moment, I'm going to say Nate Thompson is your first extra forward. Shane Gostisbehere is your first extra defenseman.
And again, this is why it's so important that these guys do get to see some time in the round robin. And I think, again, it kind of speaks to the depth that the team has, and also the benefit that the Flyers have, you know, by the pause, that they don't have to try to make do without JVR and Phil Myers and even Nate Thompson. Like, the fact that these guys are all healthy and available, like, that is a big thing. And the fact that, you know, you and I can kind of go back and forth and say, all right, you know, listen, if you're eight D-men deep going into this, and I think Mark Friedman actually did a pretty good job in a short stretch here in the season when Ghost was down. If you can go into this and say, hey, you know, eight defensemen deep, it sounds kind of like what happened to Hitch, right? That was the thing that Hitch talked about, yeah, that derailed the biggest regret of his career, which, by the way, back in the archive, if you didn't listen to the episode with Ken Hitchcock, that they started with what I think he said, seven defensemen that they were comfortable with.
They started with nine.
They had nine.
They were nine deep.
And then they ended up.
And they ended up with five.
Yep. And the sad thing was that, what was it? They were 2 days away from getting two or three guys back.
Two or three of them back. Yeah.
Wild. So this is a good thing.
They just had to win game seven against Tampa, and then they would have been healthy for the final.
Oh God, don't rehash this. Don't.
And they would have beaten that Calgary team. They would have won the Stanley Cup in 2004.
There are so many people right now who had finally kind of put that to bed.
Well,
and now
I stand by it to this day.
No, you're right.
They're the best Flyers team to never win the Stanley Cup. They're better than 97. They were better than as fun and awesome as the 85 and 87 teams were, you know, against Edmonton. And they went seven games with Edmonton 80. That 04 Flyers team was the best Flyers team to never win a Stanley Cup.
Well, I think at this point, I think we're in good shape. Yeah. We kind of want to update the people about a few other things really quickly. So the Flyers obviously play on Sunday against the Bruins. That'll be their first game back, a 3 o'clock start. I believe that one's on NBC. That's a nationally televised game. Mm-hmm. The game that they're going to play against the Capitals on Thursday, the time is still TBA, and same for the Saturday clash with the Lightning on the 8th.
Which is a different date now.
Did that one get moved? That was the one?
That was the one that got moved.
Okay. Right. So we'll see what happens with those matchups. The one against Boston, I know that there have been questions about the Press Row show coming back. I think we're going to hold off on the Press Row show until the knockout. Playoffs. Yeah, until the knockout end. Because Sunday is my anniversary. So I, as much as my wife loves me, I don't know if she would love me having all three kids at her, because nap time will be over by then. And me trying to do the Press Row show with you, I can't spend my anniversary with you instead of her, I guess is what I'm saying.
That's exactly right.
So we'll bring the Press Row show back for the knockout round. So we won't do it for Boston, Washington, and Tampa. Unless I will make this the one caveat, unless the Flyers have the chance to take the top seed in the conference and it all comes down to that third game, then we'll do the Press Row show, because that'll be a real big thing. But otherwise, assuming that doesn't happen, it'll be for the knockout stage. We very well might be adding somebody else into the mix during the Press Row show. As we get to that point, we'll have to see. I've had the chat with this this chap. He said he's interested in doing some stuff with us during the playoffs, so we'll see how that goes. But we're working on that. And then the other thing is, we're going to have a giveaway going. I'm just waiting on the final confirmation of what exactly is being sent. But I did reach out to the Flyers. Obviously, the shirt that came out from a Violent Gentleman that the players were seen getting on the plane with the cartoon shirt. I'm sure you saw it.
I don't think it says Violent Gentleman.
Yeah, that's the name of the company.
Are you sure it says Violent?
Yeah, that is the name of the company. It's Violent Gentleman across the bottom, 100%. Violent Gentleman Hockey Club. That's the brand.
You it's can look not it Vigilant.
No, it's
Gentleman.
It's Violent Gentleman. I'm positive. DM'd them and I reached out to them on Facebook to see if it was possible for us to procure a shirt as a giveaway. I was told that is the player only exclusive shirt. There's no way to get one. So then I contacted the Flyers. I went through as many people in the organization that will answer me to ask if there's any possibility that maybe one was left behind. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. There weren't. But what the Flyers did say is that because they recognize that we're the only Flyers podcast, they didn't say that. The fact that, you know, there are so many listeners to the show and, you know, They know that people are bummed out that they can't be at the games. They're going to send some playoff stuff our way. I believe playoff shirts, maybe something else. They're sending that over to me, and then we'll be doing a giveaway as we go here throughout the round robin and the postseason. So, I don't know if we're going to do this as a scavenger hunt where you have to listen to the show to the end to get a clue. I don't know if we're going to just do it as a follow Anthony, me, and Snow the goalie, or follow us on Facebook. I don't know.
I'm glad you mentioned the scavenger hunt. That reminds me of something. It has nothing to do with hockey, but
okay.
Back in, I want to say it was like 2004, 2005, one of those years, roughly. Maybe even a little bit later. The Sixers were making a playoff run, and they had just made the playoffs, and their logo, or their saying for that year, their catchphrase was, "It's time." Yeah. And so what they did was they were hiding alarm clocks around the city of Philadelphia in different places that if you found one, you would get tickets to game one of the playoffs.
Love it.
Which was pretty awesome. And what they did was they had hidden these alarm clocks in places around the city and suburbs that had to do with the word time. It's because it was its time. And wouldn't you know that they hid the alarm clock in this patch of grass at the Delaware County Daily Times building right next to where I was parking my car. And I had no idea. Like, I literally got out of the car in the morning, walked right over it, literally stepped right over it, and went into work that day. And another employee at the paper actually saw it, parked right next to my car, literally right there, found it, picked it up, and got the tickets to the playoff game. And I didn't get to go. But so a scavenger hunt would be kind of a cool idea, Russ. And I kind of loved that idea. That was a Dave Koski idea back then. Koski was a brilliant guy with that kind of stuff. So I think that would be, if you want to do a scavenger hunt, I think that would be kind of a cool idea.
I think it'd be fun. I'm going to see what they send, and I might come up with like tiers, because they also said about like sending me stuff separate, and I don't care. Like, I think it's really nice of them. But if there's something really cool in there and we can make that the scavenger hunt thing where there's like a next tier up, cool.
Yeah.
You know, looking forward to it. I like the idea of giveaways. We have a good relationship with people. The Flyers, they're nice people. Yeah. I think it's really nice that they're trying to do something like that, and they're doing something, you know, cool for listeners. So, we'll keep everybody posted on it. But make sure that you follow on Twitter at Snow the Goalie and Facebook, .com/SnowTheGoalie, or over on Instagram at Snow the Goalie. We'll post, you know, updates on that kind of stuff in between when we do the shows. So, we'll do a nice giveaway. Pretty good. Pretty good. You know what else is pretty good? Is anytime we get a 5-star review, and we actually happen to have multiple coming in here. And no. I have to say, yeah. So it's pretty nice. Pretty nice. So let's start with a 5-star review that came in from Jack 494916 from up in Canada. Best and only Flyers podcast. Speaking my language. I live in Canada and have access to many hockey podcasts, mainly all Leafs focused. It's painful to listen to, and as a Flyers fan and a hockey fan. Snow the Goalie podcast is excellent each week. Love the amazing insight on the Flyers. Keep up the great work and saving me from endless Leafs garbage. I'm sure you'll get Keenan eventually.
Thanks, Jack. That's great. That's
Mike Keenan on next week's show, of course, yeah. As always.
That's a great
Van Horn S57 from the U.S. 5 stars. Fan since Jerry Meehan's 80-foot dagger.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Ah, Russ.
Maybe I do. Wait, maybe
Flyers
I do.
History. All right, Flyers go ahead. History.
Go ahead. Take everybody behind it.
I'm not sure if it was the 70, 71, 71, 72. It was one of those 2 years. I think it was 71, 72. The Flyers just needed to tie Minnesota in the last game of the season to make the playoffs. And with 4 seconds to go in the game, Jerry Meehan took a shot from 80 feet away, and it went in. And the Flyers lost. And
I'm gonna go back
the
and look
playoffs. Could you imagine if that happened today? Could you imagine the scrutiny that would go on today if they gave up? They just needed to get to overtime, and they let up an 80-foot goal with 4 seconds left in the game to miss the playoffs. Oh my God.
Not good. Yeah. Not good.
So that's what that's the Jerry Meehan reference there.
All right. So always the go-to source for serious Flyers fans, but this latest podcast is reason so many are devoted to you too. While you've previously hinted at a rift in the organization regarding Nolan Patrick's selection, this latest information is why we subscribe. The truth is out there, as they say. Thank you. Isn't that the X-Files? The truth is out there.
Yeah. Yeah. It is an X-Files.
See that? That's good. Good job. By me picking that up. Thanks, Van Horn. I don't know which Van Horn you are. I don't know if you're Keith Van Horn. Remember the high Sox?
I remember.
Played with Keith AI. Yeah, you remember Keith Van Horn. Was better on the Nets than the Sixers. And then finally, our last segment here, the Lee C review, because Lee C always goes on to Apple Podcasts and leaves an updated review now. I think it's been like 4 or 5 episodes in a row. By the way, I had been referring to Lee C as a lady, and then I got yelled at on Twitter. Not yelled at. I got corrected on Twitter that Lee is actually a guy, said that the spelling is confusing. I'm sorry, Lee. Lee's a dude. Lee. All right. So anyway, Lee C's updated 5-star review for the week. Oscar's Contract Podcast, 5 stars. Another great podcast. Oscar's story is remarkable. The contract extension is great, and the possibility of playing the season would be a plus. The best case is he'll be an inspiration to his teammates throughout an unusual playoff run. I think Nolan Patrick should be given a 2-year extension, maybe $2 million AAV per year. I really like Nolan at Medicine Hat when he was playing with Ivan Provorov. The Flyers were able to correct his groin injury prior to that year's draft. Remember the Lindros situation and the handling of that matter. I would think that this is impacting how they're handling Nolan. I would keep him. Great job, guys. Continued great success with your podcast.
Thanks, Lee.
We got to get Lee
into the Press Row show.
Yes.
He's got to become a regular in the Press Row show. Yeah, that way we can interact.
Interact with Lee C.
As opposed, that way he doesn't have to leave his opinions as part of the 5-star review.
There you go. Now, I'm trying to think. You and I will come up with this. We'll put it out on Twitter and over on Facebook when we're going to record the next show. Yeah. Since Sunday's my anniversary, after that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So maybe Monday we'll record Monday for a Tuesday drop. Not positive. We'll put that out on social media. But in the meantime, make sure that you follow us wherever you first thing, subscribe. Because you want to just make sure that you're always on top of getting the newest episode of Snow the Goalie, the only Flyers podcast, over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play Music, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. Note that there are 2 Snow the Goalies that you can find on almost every platform, especially Apple Podcasts. One is the Crossing Broad feed. That's the one that the show originally gets posted to. The other one is the Hockey Podcast Network feed. That is the one that we syndicate the show out to. They typically post Mondays and Thursdays. So if you're subscribed to that channel, you will get the show, but you won't get it as early as you would over on the Crossing Broad feed. If you want to subscribe to both, by all means, it helps everybody out. Helps everybody out make a little bit of cashola, but you know, do what you feel. Follow us over on Twitter. Anthony is at AntSanPhilly. I'm at Joy on Broad. Of course, you can see that in the description of this episode. Follow us also on Twitter at SnowTheGoalie, on Instagram at SnowTheGoalie, and on Facebook, facebook.com/SnowTheGoalie. For Anthony, I'm Russ. Thanks for listening to Snow the Goalie, the only Flyers podcast, the People's Podcast, the Players Podcast, the Presidential Podcast, the Prognosticators Podcast, the Pedialyte Podcast, the Pampers Podcast, the Prongercast, the Knubelcast, Patrick Sharpcast, the Pooling Cast, the Prop Cast, the only Flyers podcast. Hockey's back.